The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we have with us Rebecca Breen. She is the Managing Director of Downtown Pittsfield, Inc. And this is an organization that is dedicated to the uplift and advancement of downtown Pittsfield across all facets of life. And Rebecca, I know that you're incredibly busy. This is quite the busy season for you. So I just want to say thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure to join you, Roberta. I always like to share information about downtown.
The last time we spoke, I felt like you were like a walking encyclopedia in terms of it was literally like you had no notes. Literally, if you were prompted, you just started to rattle off, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. And I said to myself, after our last conversation, I said, my God, that woman is good.
You know, I think it's because it is easy to be passionate about things like the downtown and where we're headed and the projects that we're collaborating with.
Yes.
With many partners to really, I think, set the stage for what Pittsfield and our downtown can be.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I think, and we want to get into all of that, and I want to take it back a little bit because I oftentimes think that, like, sort of our past anchors us into the present. And so, Rebecca, I know you grew up in Berkshire County. Where exactly in Berkshire County did you grow up?
So I grew up in Richmond.
Okay.
My family was considered Old Richmond, having been there for generations. My parents still live there today.
Okay.
You know, again, when you talk about the history of Pittsfield, my dad worked for Schaefer Eaton Paper Company, a manufacturer who is no longer here. My grandmother actually worked for Craning Company. So again, a major, stakeholder in our community. And I actually had an aunt who worked for General Electric. So there's a lot of history here in terms of knowing what really has brought Pittsfield and our community to where it is now.
Mm. So I want to go back to something that you mentioned. You said Old Richmond, and where there's an old, there's also a new. So old, I guess, old versus new Richmond. But I admire and I'm impressed by folks who can go all the way back in terms of their history. Have you done anything with genealogy? Do you know, like, sort of like those early roots in Richmond going way back?
So my grandfather actually lived in Richmond for many, many years as a bachelor. He was the assistant to one of the local individuals whose husband was an ambassador to France. And so he acted as her personal assistant and escorted her to functions and things like that. And that is sort of where our family started in the Berkshires.
That's fascinating.
It is. I'm actually, her name was Rebecca and I was named after her.
What, how was that, like, family lore that was like passed down through generations, or did you read it in a book? Like, how did you find this out?
So my grandparents actually, again, they lived in Richmond for many years. My dad and my mom still live on the same property that he lived on when he was there.
I love that. I often think about, you know, you think about your ancestors and you think about those people who have come before you. And sometimes you think even about your own personality and what you take from them. It would be interesting, Rebecca, if you had a little bit of her personality as well. You know,
I think so. She was a mover and shaker in the times in the community, you know, with her husband being in France or in D.C. often. She was definitely the, I guess, hostess in the area for that, you know, time period.
Well, you certainly have come full circle and you're certainly honoring her name. I think that there's something to be said for those connections that just bring us right back to where sort of our roots are. Now, in growing up in Richmond, did you head out into Pittsfield often as, back
So
then?
I actually did not spend a lot of time in Pittsfield until I went to high school. I am a
Okay.
Taconic High School graduate,
Okay.
but the Richmond Community School, I had 21 kids in my class. So it were very tight connections at the time, very small community. But, we loved every day. We would meet up after school. We'd go for hikes. We'd go for bike rides. A lot of time was spent in my early years just out in the community. My parents were farmers, so we grew our own vegetables and had beef cattle and things like that on the property. So it really was small town living. And
Yeah.
then in high school, you branch out a little bit. You spend times at the movie theaters and you do after school activities. I was on the tennis team where and that's where I met my husband, So it is, it's something that you forget sometimes how our Berkshires are really a rural place. And there's just great memories, I think, for those connections of the people I met when I was young.
Rebecca, what you're describing, it seems such like an idyllic experience, and it's so counter to like my experience. Like I'm a city person, right? I grew up in the Bronx, and your description of like your classmates and like how many classmates you had and that small cohort, vastly different. But I guess it you grow up and you have this sense of closeness, I suppose. Did you see yourselves more than just like friends, but almost like this tight-knit community that your lives become interwoven with one another?
Absolutely. And I think the small town of Richmond is like that. You still refer to locations by family names. You go back by the Melnati farm or, which of the Rawson houses were you at yesterday? And we lived on a large property and we used to do school trips to my house in order to see the animals and things like that. So, yeah, it really was more like family than it was, just your normal upbringing.
I'm curious as to what you think about. There's such this movement right now where and it's been going on for quite some time, where people who are in like metropolitan areas, they'll find like a second home somewhere. But just in terms of that return to the basics, a return to these simpler times, and you kind of lived it. And what would you say to those folks who are trying to capture some of those moments? What would you say they should keep their eye on in terms of being able to fully cherish and relish the experience? Because you lived it, and I feel like so many are trying to experience it for themselves.
I think part of it is making connections with your neighbors. I think that a metropolitan lifestyle sometimes doesn't always have that if, you need something going next door and asking for a cup of sugar,
Yeah, because you don't know your
when
neighbors in the city,
I
Rebecca, and you don't know who they are.
can. So I think that's part of though living in the Berkshires really is whether you're a native or you're a transplant or you're someone who just visits, it's really that type of friendliness that you
Yeah.
get in these communities that I
Yes.
think is what makes it special.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right. I think that the Berkshires is a really, really special place. And I remember when we first moved here 15 years ago now, and I was pregnant with our third child, my daughter, and our neighbors across the street, they brought over a little rose. Like it was like this quintessential little experience. I was like, oh my gosh, this is charming. This is so beautiful. And you really have access to tons of folks. It is not like if you're in a New York or in a Boston where you would never actually get to see Governor like Deval Patrick. Like here you actually can see him. And I mean, I've had the experience of running into Al Roker at Guido's. So it's that kind of place where you're right. It's sort of shifting your mindset from being closed off, being sort of in your lane, and opening up yourselves to what's around you, the beauty around you, the people around you, and being able to let all of that in. Yeah.
And I think that's why I am so passionate about my job currently, is because I see our downtown as my community, as my family, as, you know, wanting to be the hostess of our downtown to really make sure that everyone understands how special it really is.
When you started to make your foray into Pittsfield back at, you know, during your high school days, what were some of the things at the time that you started to say, oh my gosh, well, I love my Richmond life, but I like Pittsfield too. Do you recall those things that gave you sort of like an aha moment?
I think it really was the, I guess, variety of things that are offered. You know, you could go to North Street and go shopping. You could go to the movie theater. You know, there were plenty of places at the time for young people to hang out and to gather. You know, I have to say that I created more friendships with people who lived in Pittsfield, and that their experience from living here was quite different. And so they opened up my eyes to everything that was, you know, happening and what the potential was.
Where did you hang out as a teen?
So I played sports. I was tennis team, things like that. So we spent a lot of time at the high school, you know,
okay.
Afterwards, we spent a lot of time at Wacona Park. I was part of the band. So at all the football games and things like that. We spent a lot of time just pretty much bopping from places like Friendly's and into the downtown to shop and things like that. So I think it's something that we can see happening again.
Yeah. When you used to hang out on North Street, and I know just going back through different pictures and seeing the shops that were there, like was England Brothers still there when you were?
When I was younger, we used to, you know, again, I understand the nostalgia of the Thursday nights and the shopping for Easter dresses at, you know, England Brothers. But again, I think even then as a young person, there were plenty of shops I didn't go to that didn't interest me. And I think that that's sometimes what people forget about currently. We have tons of shopping in the downtown. They're just more eclectic than I think they used to be. And so
that's,
it's finding the connection, you know, which ones are going to give you something new to look at. And then some that, of course, are your mainstay to shop all the time.
I think, Rebecca, you know, just the fact that you were able to garner a second perspective, I think that often helps with, especially what you do today and all of the work that you're doing, which we're definitely going to get into it. I definitely want to reserve a lot of time for that. But you were able to see and grow up in one thing and then build relationships in another. So you had the benefit of a dual perspective. So what that did was it allowed you to be able to appreciate that kind of difference. And I think there's so much, you know, when people talk about nostalgia, nostalgia can be so, it can be a great thing, but it can also be, it can kind of trap you. Because if you get stuck in how it was and what it used to look like and where people, you can never then move into the what it could be, because you're always in the what it was. And I think, you know, you lived in Pittsfield for about 30 years, right? So obviously there were some things that you loved when you, after graduating from Taconic, you didn't leave, you stayed. So
you made
it your home, and you chose to make a shift from sort of that rural sort of existence, and which was a beautiful one. Nothing was wrong with that, but you shifted into more of that city life. Did you find that when you made that shift and you were living in this environment, did you feel at home? Did you feel at ease?
Absolutely. And I think my husband and I, part of our decision to stay in Pittsfield, were when our children were growing up, knowing that the access that they would have living closer to the center of the Berkshires and here in Pittsfield would be beneficial for them.
Mm.
you know, in terms of their friends and activities. You know, we've lived in Pittsfield since my kids were young. I had one who graduated from St. Joe. I had one who graduated from PHS. Mm-hmm. But it really did allow a lot more flexibility for them to have relationships and yes. friendships and all the after school activities that they were involved in. And I think as parents, it really was helpful for us to be living in Pittsfield for those things.
Did you find that when for your kids, juxtaposing your experience as a teen versus your kids' experience and the things and the places that they had to go, did they also sort of have those spaces and places to enjoy themselves and to hang out with their friends and to do those things? Or did you, thinking about your own experience and your own time, did you notice any shifts happening even then?
I think both of my children spent a lot of time with after school activities. Again, the connections you make at school are really yeah. important, but we would get the, I'm headed to the, you know, movies, or we're going to go downtown, or, you know, they were a little bit of homebodies, but they had their core friends.
Yes.
And so there was always the, can you drive us here? Can you drive us there? You know, but I think that it was important for them to have that experience, you know, mm-hmm. based on, you know, 20 minutes from Richmond to do anything, where it's 5 minutes to walk to your friend's house when you're in Pittsfield. So
I have to ask you, when you think about 30 years in as a retrospective, you've seen a lot. You've seen the highs and you've probably seen some lows too. What made you, and I know that the kids haven't allowing them to sort of have that anchor and to do, to sort of live their lives in that way, that was important to you. Would you say that was sort of the chief factor, or collectively, what were some of the factors that said, you know what, we're not leaving Pittsfield, we're staying?
I think it really, for us, it was family. You know, my parents obviously live here. I have three brothers, two who are still local. My husband's mom and father at the time was our Pittsfield residents. And for us, that family connection was really important. And I think it shows your upbringing, where my youngest son actually returned here to Pittsfield and purchased a house after he graduated for college, in a very similar sense, where the family connections for him and some of the relationships that he had built during high school were important enough to bring him back to Pittsfield and to stay here.
That's awesome, Rebecca. Would you say that he's a millennial?
So he just turned 30.
Yeah, he's a millennial. So
he's in he's in that range, you know, and he does talk about how young people right now, say the ages of 25 to 35, that there needs to be more for them to do here in
yeah.
the school. And I use him as a sounding board for a lot of the things that we try to plan for events for Downtown Pittsfield Inc. and things like that.
Yeah.
But he's been a great connection for me. He coaches at the high school now too, so he's a great connection for the younger people.
Mm-hmm.
We do. We talk about, you talk, when you say highs and lows, it's like our community is shrinking. And
yeah.
part of the reason for that is, you know, you have individuals who are either choosing not to go to college or coming after college and saying, what is there to do for that age range?
Right.
And that is definitely a goal for us, to try and say, what can we start adding? And that
yeah.
would help so much with some of the job, you know, we have places like General Dynamics or Lenco, organizations like that, who are looking for young individuals to work for them. And it's sometimes hard to say, come to Pittsfield, you know, it's a great place to live.
I got to tell you, Rebecca, I, you know, going back to sort of my government days, and I remember COVID, the period of COVID, where we were forced to sort of, during a really hard, hard time for our country, our community, we were forced to be use our imagination in how we thought of our community and the things that we did. And what we saw, and I'm sure you saw it as well, was that people were flocking to the Berkshires, flocking to Pittsfield. You know, Pittsfield even was regarded and recognized as a place to be because of all of the beautiful natural assets that we have here. And I think definitely it's about a shift in mindset of what you value. And when you come to that realization, and it's interesting that your son, who is of the younger millennial set, right, that he said, wait, this is important to me. This is what I want. And I don't think he's alone. I think that there are others that kind of say, you know what, I kind of, to your point, I like the family, but I like the whole environment. I like everything that it has to offer, and gravitating and making those intentional choices to build back up community. I just love that so much. And I think about, you know, when you grew up in Pittsfield, there are probably hidden gems that maybe the rest of us who are transplants, you know, wouldn't know of. I'd love to know what was a hidden gem that you relished then and now.
I think growing up in the Berkshires and having Pittsfield as an access point for us, the hidden gems that we used to find were places that were welcoming, obviously, to a younger individual. Mm-hmm. And I say younger, it could be high school age, it could be young adults. And even today, it's finding that place to be. There are plenty of places, whether they be restaurants or stores, or, you know, a brewery or a bar, that you can go in and you feel like you're at Cheers. You yeah. walk in and they know your name and they know what you do and they'll sit down and talk to you. And I think it's that type of belonging yeah. that yeah. even in high school for me was yeah. really important. And even more so now as we're trying to build the community back up, yeah. it really is finding that type of relationship and connection in this town.
Oh my gosh, Rebecca, that reminds me of like my favorite place. I know you're probably, you may not want to like name names of places and stuff, but I can. I love Thrive, right? Because I am not full vegan, but I eat a lot of vegan food. And I love Thrive to the point where they know my order. I call and I say my name and they're like, yep. We know, and you know, PJ is like the regular, and I'm like, yep, and that's it. And it's absolutely that connection where, again, you just made me smile when I thought about that, because that's a place that I frequent, and they know me, and they know my order, and just really welcoming and great. You know, Rebecca, I wanna dovetail into, because you have this love of Pittsfield, but you made a concerted decision to say, you know, I wanna get into an industry that is that sort of helps people, you know, foster their love and enhance it in many ways. And you studied hotel and restaurant management culinary studies at BCC. Did you know that with the background you had of your love of Pittsfield and everything, and you obviously love people, was this sort of like a natural segue for you?
So my hospitality and restaurant, that was from a very young age. I started working at around 13 at a local bed and breakfast. Yeah. And I knew from that moment that I wanted to be in the hospitality industry. You know, and I spent many years throughout, you know, the usual suspects of downtown, of Pittsfield itself, you know, Canyon Ranch, Cranwell, places like that. And during the time that my kids were young, I shifted into jobs that were a little bit more 9 to 5. So I worked for KB Toys and Country Curtains for a number of years. And I really think the combination of the hospitality and some of the business aspect in my later retail type jobs really made this position in downtown for DPI sort of a perfect combination of that, because, you know, it's a very broad number of individuals and businesses and aspects of our downtown that this job touches. Mm-hmm. And I think that the background from those two types of industries really I understand the business aspect. I understand young entrepreneurs. I understand retail. And at the same time, the hospitality, really, it's how to make people feel in a certain way that they are welcome and that, you know, they are valued. And that is the hospitality part of it.
I agree 100%. It is absolutely about the experience because people have choices. They have choices how they spend their money. They have choices about how they spend their time. And when it comes down to it, it's how do you make every single person who walks through your door, how do you make them feel like they're your star, right?
Yeah.
And give them that VIP experience. Rebecca, when we're going to take a short break, when we return, we're going to get into all the fabulous things that you're doing at DPI. We'll be right back.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Have you ever dreamed of being a radio DJ, spinning your favorite vinyl CDs and MP3s? Have you ever wanted to share conversations with interesting guests with the community? Then the WTBR FM Programming Committee wants to hear from you. We are now accepting proposals for new programs. For more information, visit WTBRFM.com or call 445-4234. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Every Sunday night at 10 p.m., something strange happens to the airwaves of WTBR-FM. It's called The Mix. It is an experience like no other on this part of the planet. Witness a collection of fresh and classic beats that are guaranteed to make you move. The best part is, it is mixed completely live, uncut, unedited. So, for an exciting end to the weekend, tune your radio to WTBR-FM Sunday nights from 10 to midnight for The Mix.
Now, streaming live on the web, WTBRFM.com.
Okay, for those listeners just tuning in, my guest today is Rebecca Breen. She is the Managing Director of Downtown Pittsfield, Inc. And if you haven't heard of Downtown Pittsfield, Inc., well, then you know what? You need to find out about it because it is the premier organization that is solely dedicated to the uplift and advancement of downtown. But they don't do it alone. They have many partners. And Rebecca, you have been at the helm of DPI for 3 years now.
Yes.
Do you still get when people still come to you and say, how's the new job?
They do. I mean, it's amazing that it seems like it's been forever.
Yeah.
And yet it seems like it was just yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I remember when you assumed this role and I thought to myself, oh my gosh, she's the biggest cheerleader. You love downtown. It's so evident. And what a perfect fit. And, you know, one of the things that I think is amazing is that with all the things that comes out of DPI, you have a small but mighty team. It's you and you have two staffers.
Yes, I am the only full-time employee from DPI.
Yeah.
And then we have a part-time administrator who takes care of me and makes sure that all the stuff needs to be done that needs to be done. And then we have a part-time marketing person. And so that is the extent of that is our team. Now, we are very lucky in the fact that we have a fairly large board.
Mm-hmm.
We have 20 plus people on the board itself. We partner with so many great organizations, and we have some sponsors here in our community that really do help us make sure that everything that we can accomplish is done.
So you made a note of something that's really important, and I kind of want to go back a little bit. When you first came on board 3 years ago and you said, you sat down and you put down your list of priorities and you said, okay, I'm going to do this. I want to do this, X, Y, and Z, boom, boom, boom. Because we all have it, right? You always start in a new role and you have a vision. You have your list of priorities. When you revisit that list and you look at it today, what would you say about that list? And what would you say would continue to carry over into the future?
So the first directive we were given when I started 3 years ago, as we were just coming out of COVID situations and the pandemic, was to make sure that activities were happening in our downtown and what we could do to increase foot traffic and just let the community know as a whole that downtown was alive and that there were things happening. And so that was our first priority at the time. And I think we've accomplished that between activities, you know, things that had always been happening, such as the First Friday's Arts Walk, the annual cleanup, the festive frolic at the holiday season. Those all continued and actually grew in size. We also then added things such as our Downtown Celebrate Spring, which is coming up soon this year, where we do kids activities. We do our restaurant week expanded to be the Taste of Downtown for a full month of celebrating the different eclectic restaurants that we have in the community. We partner with so many individuals when it comes to other activities. The First Fridays at 5 now taking place. We're going into our second year of that. We partner with the Pittsfield Police Department on their National Night Out. We work with the West Side Legends on many of their activities. Every day you can look at our calendar and see that we have things coming up all the time. Our Halloween event, which is actually dubbed Downtown Pittsfield, It's Alive. So it is a little joke as part of that. But that Halloween event, 3 years running now, has attracted hundreds and hundreds of kids and families for free activities for Halloween. And this year we even expanded it to have a night circus for the young people. So that sort of after dark event, again, as we're talking about trying to bring in, you know, the late teen and early 20s set, you know, with activities that were meant just for them.
When you sit, and so obviously you made a lot of checks on that list, I see, and added a few more priorities for the future. When you think, when you sit around the table and you ideate, you and your team, and you're thinking of things, I know it's you guys, and then your process in terms of bringing folks in, have you found that the collaborative process has been not seamless, but do you find that it gets hung up in bureaucracy? Do you find that, you know, any kind of steps where you have to sort of say, all right, this is really important to the people of downtown and you got to push it forward? Because sometimes we know government doesn't always work as fast as folks would want it to work. Well, and so when you have advocates on one side and another on, you know, other groups on the other side, things don't always work in that way. So what has sort of been your winning formula to get things moving and on a timely basis?
I think it really is the fact that we are collaborators. And because we work with organizations, whether it be ServiceNet or the City of Pittsfield or the retailers within our community, it's the fact that we want the best for them. And by working with them on small projects, the larger projects are much easier to move along. You know, the city is a great partner with us. You know, many people think we are the city, but we are a separate organization. We are a membership organization. But working with them very closely on all of the events really has made it much easier for us to say, we want to close down a street to have something going on, or we'd like to do a beer garden in an untraditional place, you know, or even to the extent of we want to add lighting into Dunham Mall and we want new plants to go there, and the reimagining of that space has really been very comfortable with the city itself because they understand that our vision really is to make improvements and not necessarily to, I guess, challenge what is already there. We're just looking to enhance it.
So, Rebecca, there's so many great things. And so we have to go to this place where, why do you think this negativity persists then? Because everything you've shared, there's so many good things. And I think I've talked to you when I see you popping up on social media and there'll be a comment and you're like, well, we have this, and you are the consummate cheerleader. How do you think this perception can be dismantled where folks can truly understand that all the things that you've mentioned are in fact happening? They're not happening tomorrow, they're happening now. You can enjoy it now. How do you think is the best way to get that point across to folks so they can truly understand that you don't have to wait for something because there are people working hard at it right now?
I think the biggest challenge with anyone who has experienced our downtown in one way, a nostalgia, that their hope is that everything will change at once. And it does take time. You know, I mean, it took us 2 years to fill 25 storefronts, which when you phrase it that way is amazing.
Yeah.
And yet there are still people who see there are still spaces that need to be filled, you know, but I'm not naive to the challenges that our city and every city right now are experiencing. Yes. Yeah. But at the same time, you can't not progress
right.
and make those improvements just because there are other things that need to be worked on.
Exactly. It's not an either or, it's a both and. And you can do all those things at once. You can, and I think you, when we were last having that conversation, and you mentioned a scenario, and I'd love if you could share it again, because I think that it spoke to the humanity of it all. And it spoke to that downtown isn't sort of this sanitized place. You have a cast of characters. It is a downtown, folks, right? So you're going to have personalities. You're going to have so many things. But if you could just talk a little bit about what you saw. I think it was someone in the sort of the foyer or the doorway next to yours. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so one of the things that as a person and as I came into this role, I am very well versed with the mental health concerns that there are in the community. I'm very well versed in the individuals who maybe have housing insecurity or food insecurity. And we do have people who will come in our door at our, you know, 431 North Street. We're right on the strip, and will come in. And we had a gentleman who obviously is having challenges with housing. And he had been sleeping in the doorway of our community, you know, of our business. And my goal was to introduce myself to him, make sure that he had water, offer him what we have for snacks that are here, and to have a conversation with him and to make sure that he knew that there were services that were available. And to make sure that he recognized that, you know, as a business, I need to have someone be able to have access to my doorway, but that what we were here for was to support him and to support what he needed and to be able to connect him with the organizations and services that are available. I think it's really important that as a community, these are the steps that we need to take to make sure we are all taken care of.
Absolutely. It's an approach that it's a very compassionate and humane approach. And I think when I unpack it a little bit, you started it with a conversation. And there's something to be said for, you know, approaching the encounter with that lens. Let's have a conversation. Let me find out about you as a person. And in many respects, what that does is it sort of neutralizes maybe any other emotions that could be there. And it lets that person feel seen. and heard. And believe me, I know it's not like, you know, I know things happen. So I'm not naive to that, to your point too, Rebecca, because you're aware. I think we're both aware. But I think at a baseline level, when you do approach folks from that standpoint, they're taken aback because you're not yelling. You're not saying, hey, get out of here. You're saying, hey, what's your name? How can I help you? So I think that's a powerful thing. Let's talk a little bit about your new space, and let's talk a little bit on how you know, DPI has made that shift again from Dunham Mall, where it was, I want to say, since its inception, I think.
Very early on, it was in that area, yes. So during the transition, obviously, of services provided by DPI during COVID, they downsized into a very small office. Mm-hmm. There was barely enough room for the two desks and the copier that was in there. And so we actually had a member reach out to us about a storefront that was opening in downtown at Jan Perry. Obviously, her real estate was retiring, and so they were sort of disbanding. And we made a phone call and we asked about the space. And the property owner said that they were looking to have someone not only to be able to rent the office itself, but also to manage some of the space that used to be obviously the membership organization of Framework, which is a co-working model, which they said that they wanted someone to take it over. And so it seemed like a natural fit for the evolution for DPI. You know, the events are great that what we do, but we are returning to really working with educational programming for our members. We want them to be able to have references between the membership itself in terms of services that are available. We also want to make sure that as things are changing economically, that they have the tools to be able to stay open, you know, and to flourish and to, you know, even grow if possible. Mm-hmm. So the space itself at 431 North Street is our offices. And then at 437, which is adjoining us, there is multiple meeting rooms. There's a classroom that can be configured in many different ways, whether it be a larger boardroom style or a theater or a classroom. We also have a boardroom itself that can be used. And then there are semi-private offices that can be rented out both in a long-term stance or by the day. So if you're an entrepreneur and you want to come in and meet with some clients because you have a home-based business, a room would be available here to rent for you.
That's amazing.
We actually even offer memberships now to entrepreneurs because we realize that that is one of the fastest growing business segments. And we have seen a number of these smaller from home operations who are now moving into storefronts. So really here to help them and to help them grow and to give them access to, our, of course, our social media and our membership lists and things like that. So it really is, we have been so lucky to have this space. We've been here since last June, so not even a year yet. And at this point in time, it is growing and thriving.
Wow. I mean, between everything that you're saying you're doing for downtown, the new space, it's all coming together. Could you speak to, and I know you referenced a little bit about the stuff coming up, but there are also some really exciting things that are kind of like going to happen, like really like now. Could you speak about like the crosswalks and the different things and the art? There are some exciting things that I know you want people to know about.
Absolutely. So some of the projects that we are obviously working on are First Fridays at 5 and the First Fridays Arts Walk, of course, is expanding. We have gallery space now here at Framework where we highlight artists. We like to look at emerging artists, people who are up and coming, and people can contact us if they want to be part of that. So that is great. We received a grant recently and are working with the city on painting crosswalks in our downtown. That is a pilot program that we're doing to help with safety and for obviously the sections that are not associated with a crosswalk. We think by painting them vibrant colors that have meaning to our community, that in its way will help drivers to be able to recognize that they're there. My goal is to have one that would combine the two high school colors. So we can have green and gold on one side and purple and white on the other, and then to merge them to show the fact that we have, you know, these great educational avenues here in the Pittsfield and how they can work together. So that's, we're very excited about that project. Downtown Blooms, which is we're working with Pittsfield Beautiful, adding perennial gardens here in our downtown, which will be drought resistant and will be able to be maintained to grow each year without having to replant them. So it's really looking at an environmental session for that. Of course, we are part of what's called Let It Shine, which is a public art program. There's another large mural coming on the way, and there'll also be a call for another emerging artist project. So someone who's in their teens or young adults can come and actually work with a mentor in order to be able to paint a mural here in our downtown.
Rebecca, amazing. How are you, how do you balance all this? I mean, again, it's the small but mighty team, and you have definitely a lot of partners, but goodness, this is a lot.
It is. And if you ask anyone, I don't sleep. my husband now sees me by volunteering at the events that I host. But I'm one of those all or nothing people, you know, and again, it does take an army. And so I figure I can start as an army of one, and we'll just keep adding members and collaborators and teammates to be able to really make this, you know, happen.
Well, definitely. I mean, your champion of downtown is contagious. It is something that I think folks, if they just even have one conversation with you, they get to see it and they feel it. And so obviously there are so many good things ahead for Pittsfield, and we're entering one of the busiest seasons, right? We're getting into our spring summer season, which is going to bring lots of people to the city and our downtown. And when you talked about the 20 new businesses, can you give some examples of some of these new businesses that have Occupy downtown that people will want to check out? And I'm definitely going to let you drop the website and all the handles and all the platforms that people can stay connected to DPI. But if you could share just a little bit of this taste and this flavor of downtown for folks who may be interested in saying, oh, let me see what it has to offer. What could you sort of give us a preview?
Well, I love the fact that we have so many eclectic restaurants now in our downtown. BB's Hotspot has come to downtown, and they've taken over the Lantern. So again, fabulous burgers there, but they also do great seasonal food, and he does catering. He does a food truck. He's opened up space on the west side again. So BB's Hotspot is definitely the place to be. Of course, Dottie's has expanded and she does evening events now, and Dorothy's is open and they're open on the weekends. So that is fantastic. Marie's is taken over the space right in the middle of North Street that used to be the European Emporium, but she does great, really basic, in a good way, sandwiches and soups. She has a salad bar. So Marie's is a great place to check out. You can go a little bit further down and we have Lulu's, which has great bagels and breakfast sandwiches. You then include the fact that Cibaritas has moved to our downtown. They're right on McKay Street. So again, you look at that. You look at Rare, which is, you know, the high-end steakhouse, but has great lunch options during the day. So that's fantastic. And then, so then in terms of shopping, of course, we've had the addition of the Plant Connector, which is, again, at this time of year, a great place to go get some greenery for your house. We have Thistle and Thorn, which is the local now flower shop. She does great entertaining pieces. She'll teach you how to do your own bouquets, things of that nature. You can look at the Bomb Shack, which is a vintage store. And when I say vintage, we're talking 1980s vintage.
Oh, okay.
So they do clothing.
Wait a second. 1980s vintage. Wait one second.
They have the greatest selection of everything from clothing to knickknacks to if you want to find a lunchbox with Wonder
Rebecca,
Woman on it.
You're speaking my language because yeah. I love vintage. Where is the Bomb Shack? Where is that?
Bomb Shack is located. Oh, you're going to have to ask me the address. That's
I'll find it. Don't
yeah,
worry about that.
It's near Hotel on North, so down okay. in that area, yes. So that is, you know, absolutely fabulous. We have Witch Slapped, which is a metaphysical store in the downtown. They've been in business now almost 3 years. They are a great community space. Mm-hmm. We have community spaces. There's Wander, which is located mm-hmm. on Depot Street. They have a cafe and coffee. And probably one of the biggest coups right now is Hot Plate Brewing Company.
Yeah.
If you haven't heard of them, they have been nationally acclaimed in many ways, but was recently given third place in the USA Today's new breweries in the entire country.
Wow.
So they are fantastic. Wow. And the owners there are collaborating with us and they have a brainchild to do music in Dunham Mall this summer, every Friday night, and doing things anywhere from punk shows to ska to bluegrass, really making it, you know, the place to be in downtown for, you know, Friday nights this summer.
There is, wow. One, when we wrap this up, I'm going to look into the Bomb Shack because love, love, love vintage. I don't even know if I should even be talking about this because, you know, once you start naming a place, that's when everyone starts going. So
there are plenty of options. One of the best things people also don't know. So Downtown Pittsfield Inc. has an app that you can download through the Google Store. And what it does is it gives you different options to see where everything is. So obviously we have a restaurant tour on the app. We have a business like retail on the app. You can also look at the 31 murals that are located in downtown on this app.
I had not. When did that happen, Rebecca?
You know, it happened a while ago, but nobody knows about it. So that's why we're plugging it here, of course.
As I'm in my app store right now, looking to get the app, because I think that that's super cool. And the fact that I had no idea, but now everyone knows that there's an app. And this way, it sort of can provide your own guided tour of whatever you want.
Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. So I love all of this. And I love the fact that just watching you and these businesses and folks, Rebecca is not reading from a paper. Rebecca has this in her mind, and it's just coming out. And it just shows the love that you have, Rebecca, for your members and for the downtown community in general. There's such excitement. I mean, you literally made me want to just like leave right now and go check out the Bomb Shack because I'm so intrigued.
That's just a tip of the thing. We have a beauty supply store here in the downtown called Dolce Rose.
Yes.
Specific for individuals with, you know, BIPOC community, but they also now have a nail tech in the space as well. She's adding pedicures to that.
Oh.
You know, we have multiple Brazilian restaurants here in our downtown. Espantino's is one of them. They do great. Their limeade is phenomenal. And then there's Brazuca's, which not only serves food, including a lunch buffet, but also has a Brazilian market. So if you're looking to cook and experience some of the Brazilian food that previously you had to travel to places like Connecticut or to Albany to get, it's right here in the downtown.
So Rebecca, maybe this is just even my own like selfish desire, but are there any talks for like a local bookstore to come back to downtown?
So we are right now looking at a couple of spaces for a small boutique type of bookstore that would have some newer things, but probably a lot of used or pre-read.
Okay.
We're in the process of working with someone on that. You know, we have so few storefronts that are currently open.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes that is the challenge. An up and coming or a new business needing to build out a space that's starting from scratch can be daunting, of course, financially.
Yeah.
So we always try and connect grants and opportunities with those businesses, help them through who to talk to with permitting. Mm-hmm. Things of that nature is something that obviously we would like to do for every business in our downtown. We just recently did a grand opening for a woman who does eyebrows in terms of permanent eyebrows. And it was wonderful because she came in, she's new to the community, and we were able to connect her, obviously, with the people that we work with, people who are within the city, to look at ways to, you know, make sure that the word is out there that she's there.
I love it. Wow. Well, I'm hopeful, and it makes me really believe that a little boutique bookstore will return. I remember 15 years ago when we first moved here, there was one. It was right across the street from the Beacon Cinema. I don't think a lot of people remember it, but there was a bookstore. And they used to have, there was a space for like read-ins and performances. It was very spacious, to be honest. And I missed it. When it left, I missed it. It's good to know that we might see something, a new iteration of some kind of book store or boutique, however it presents itself. So we're going to go into our lightning round before we wrap up. What's the last good book you've read?
I have to say I am not a reader.
Okay.
Great, to be honest with you. So I spend most of my time researching different stores and communities and things like that. So that I really can't answer that one.
That's fine. It's like when I ask people, well, what's the last show you watched? And people are like, I don't own a TV. So it's okay. So well, I will ask you this. Do you like TV shows?
So we are a huge rerun in the background at our house. So right now we're on a kick with The Rookie.
Oh.
And we started watching the new, it's on, I think, Max, called The Pit. It's it's a Pittsburgh, I believe it's Pittsburgh, medical show.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. So figuring that everyone sort of, you know, tends to subscribe to something or at least is on some version of OTT, I'm just going to say Apple TV, Hulu, or Tubi.
None of the above.
All right.
We are good old cable, pay for actual cable. So
it's all good.
My mother-in-law, and she likes the traditional channel. So
let me tell you something. There is no shame in having your traditional outlets. And I'm going to tell you something right now. When you add up all these subscriptions too, it actually equals the amount that you probably paid for cable. And I remember someone was like, they were like, this novel idea of what if there were all these channels and you only paid one amount for? And folks are like, yeah, it was called cable.
Yes.
I think that's interesting how the pendulum kind of can swing back to the other side after people realize they're paying for all these subscriptions and it's actually probably more than what your bill was before. But I digress. If you had to choose one word to describe you, what would it be?
Optimistic.
I love how you said that with such clarity, confidence, and quickness. Oh, yeah, that is you, Rebecca. That is you. Rebecca, I just want to thank you so much for giving me a portion of your time today. Thank you so much for all that you do for downtown Pittsfield and the members that you serve. Thank you for being the optimist, and thank you for having a vision that brings everyone in so that downtown will continue to be that welcoming space for so many to enjoy. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you. Everyone, you've been listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on WTBR-FM Pittsfield with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. I hope you have a great day. Thanks, everyone.